turn away.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, welcome to Sweet Talking Sports Sheffield Live. We've got a full house. This evening we've got G and CV. What are them there?
Yes,
evening,
one,
people.
One.
Good evening,
Daya.
People.
Daya.
Yeah, I mean, going to start off the show with the sad news of Mikel Antonio. Frightening car crash during Storm Dara. Apparently lost control of his Ferrari FF. What can do 0-60. In about 3.6 to 3.7 seconds, smashed into a tree in Essex. Mikel Antonio, previous clubs, played for the Owls, played for Forest, current club West Ham, and also international status with Jamaica. Mikel Antonio, I mean, big kind of like crash. And, you know, everybody here on Sweet Talking Sport, you know, enough respect going out to Mikel and wishing him all the best for the future. 34-year-old underwent surgery on the lower limb fracture, but still faces weeks in hospital recovering from multiple injuries. A forward has spoken to his teammates via video call from his hospital bed before West Ham beat Wolves 2-1 on Monday. Players wore Antonio's number 9 shirts whilst warming up at their London stadium. Serious crash. I mean, we wouldn't wish that to happen to anybody. But you know something, what I want to explore is that the headlines, what I saw, is like the police were quick to rule out drugs and alcohol. I mean, the guy was literally, I think it took the services about 40 minutes to cut him out of his car. I don't know if you saw it online or anything, but it was a quite bit of a mess.
The front was a mess. Yeah. I thought he was quite lucky to come to get out of that, really, because from what I saw of it, it did look bad. But you know, when you said something about the ruled out drugs and drink, well, why do you think they've done that?
I mean, it's like, I mean, I know it's like investigations and stuff have to take place, but it was just the way how it came across to me. You know, the guy is lucky to be alive, to be honest with you. And it's like the first thing that, you know, they can talk about is drugs and drink, which I thought it was absolutely shocking. You know, it was a horror car crash. And, you know, like I said, the police investigate all kind of like serious accidents. But what a statement to kind of put, you know, it's like to say, oh, okay, you know, no drugs and no alcohol involved when a guy's, you know, I mean, he's stable now, but he could have easily lost his life. at the time of the crash. So, still under investigation. Claimed that, like I said, drugs and alcohol weren't involved in it. Police are also operating under the impression that a third party wasn't involved either. Moments before Antonio's FF Ferrari was kind of like, you know, into the trees in quite a very serious situation he was in. Underwent surgery, expected to be out for at least about 12 months. And there's also kind of like West Ham have been rumoured to say that they probably will offer Antonio another deal, and I think that's the least they can do. You know, very very kind of serious tributes have been pouring in for the 34-year-old. And the West Ham are keeping the fans obviously updated of the progress on social media. The Hammers squad have also shown their public support for Antonio, like I said, wearing his shirts as before the game against Wolves. And that victory was no doubt for Mikel.
Well, looking at this car crash here, whatever else, he is very, very lucky to walk away from that. But you know, usually when it comes to the media and anything now, the first thing with the police and that is to rule out drugs and drinking drugs. You've got to rule that out straight away. We all know some football players dabble in that like others do. So if it's not anything to do with that and there was no third party, what's left? Apart from that, he may have been speeding and lost control of the car.
Yeah, I think they said that the surface of the road was quite slippy as well. And like you said, G, last week, you know, anybody with them kind of fast toys.
Yeah, man, you're going to use it.
You know, you're gonna be booting it occasionally. And it's just unfortunate. Yeah, it's lost control.
That's the chance you take, though, isn't it? With these performance cars and whatever else. That's the chance you take.
100%, you know. I mean, he said that he was out for a long time and he's recovering day by day. Is getting better. West Ham manager said it's good news for us that he's back.
Yeah,
he's working in the normal way. The last 10 days, he's ready. So, you know, it's a big loss for West Ham because I believe Antonio's a record goal scorer in the Premier League. I believe that's correct. And he'll also be missing also for Jamaica's qualifying games as well. So it's a double blow all around. But I think in terms of his injury and stuff, sometimes you have to put football, that just comes second.
Well, that don't matter now, really, and truly. You know, let's be honest.
It's just about,
matter now. It's about
getting
him
back
now.
To... Full
fitness,
finish.
Yeah.
And it's going to take time, isn't it?
Well, if you recover first and then fitness come after, yeah, if he can still play, but he might have to recover properly.
He's
going
to be able to come back and start doing what he was doing. He's going to take him ages.
Not for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to walk, to get the coordination. I think most important thing also as well is building back up that muscle.
Yeah.
Because... You know, I mean, for those who work out and stuff, I think it takes about 2 weeks before you start losing kind of like muscle, and that's probably one of the first things to go. So he's going to have to be brave. You know, it's a big, massive setback for him and his loved ones and all his close friends and teammates around him. But something what they said, what will... be good for him, because Mikel is kind of like is a good kind of statue, isn't he? He's got some kind of timber upon him.
Yes, and he's quite a strong individual.
Yeah, and they're saying that would benefit him going forward in the long run. So that's just something to kind of like bear in mind, you know, that, you know, it is good to keep, you know, yourself in good physical kind of condition.
And mental as well.
100%, yeah. Goes a long way. So, yeah, just thought I'd, you know, we
all wish him well, you know.
Respects to Mikel, and yeah. Hopefully he'll be back, you know, next season. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Ice hockey, Team GB women chasing history for the Olympics, for the a qualification for the winter sport. And, you know, in the women's hockey for the Winter Olympics, they're shaping up the skills. And some women have been coming over from Canada, I do believe, to play with the men in the men's league, and been taking some criticism also as well from some spectators. And they're saying that some males are smashing into the women like
they're playing men.
Yeah, like the real thing. I mean, you know, some women will just kind of like laugh it off, but not everybody's the same. Why they have to kind of like be forceful like that? Maybe they're trying to prove a point.
Yeah, it's a man's game,
you know.
As far as they're concerned.
Yeah. But players also been seeking an edge in the training with Jodie Anderson-Smith amongst the GB women. Like I said, playing against the men. The men are obviously, some are bigger, some are taller. And also you get the strength in difference also as well. And they'll play the game a little bit quicker, maybe think a little bit quicker also as well. So it's good for the women to get involved in that. And like I said, they're trying to get themselves in shape to qualify for the Winter Olympics. So, you know, after big up GB, let's hope that they can make a big mark of that and qualify. So again, like I said, we'll be keeping one eye on that. Athletics. Guanji,
I was going to say, well, let's be right. If they're playing the men's team and that, and the men them are roughing them up, if they can qualify, then they'll be set to play the women's in the team the minute. They can take some of that aggression and pass it over to the pond, to whoever else, then they've got a good chance.
Oh, well, I've been looking at the teams, what they've got to play. And they've got, they're going to be playing it in Sheffield. And they've got the Netherlands, Spain, and Latvia. And they've got to do a battle with them. And I think it's from Thursday the 12th and the 15th of December. And the winners will progress to the final of the Olympic qualifier in February 2025.
So they have got the work cut out then, haven't they? But let's be positive for them. Go on, England.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a kind of bold move that to say, do you know what? Let's play with the men.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll not get no kind of like tougher training and that in that arena. Because after all, you know, it's in that game in ice hockey, it's gloves off, helmet off, and
let's go.
And let's go for it. You know what I mean? You know, some brave women around. I think you need to big up.
Yeah, you have to take your hat off to them, man.
GB.
Yeah, you have to.
On to a bit of athletics. Not necessarily about what people have been doing during the kind of like racing and stuff, but it's the violence shown towards women is overshadowing the sport. Felix says that it's a great concern for the safety of women athletes in some parts of the world. with a record of 20 world championships and 11 medals to her name. Alison Felix is the most decorated track and field athlete of all time. You know, we covered that story of the Ugandan Olympic runner, Rebecca, who was injured, lost her life, I would say, when her partner burnt her.
That was sad.
You know?
Very sad.
I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, people are taking the safety of these athletes very serious, because the violence is on the up. Like I said, it's overshadowing the sport, and the culture has to change. That's what Felix is saying. You know, because the mother of two was killed, like we said, in Kenya 3 years ago.
That's flown, isn't it, if it's 3 years ago?
3 years ago, well, that's kind of like has flown. Priorities need to be at the fourth court of the thinking, and the athletics commission body has to represent athletics within the Olympic movement. There's needs to be serious consequences and severe if they're going to move forward in this. The American runner, who retired back in 2022, is one of the women featured on BBC Women's List. Each year named 100 inspiring, influential women around the world. This year, the list is focusing on the theme of resilience, which is a particular part from in Felix's case. So, you know, safety, that's what we're saying.
I mean, it's one thing having safety in the sport, but how do you do anything for the home life? I mean, a lot of these countries still have their religious side of it, which is still at the forefront, where men still rule, isn't it? While some of these women's having problems, but how does the athletics organisation deal with that side of it? It's kind of impossible, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is a bit, because when you think about it, right, from them left the truck and them gone to them yard now.
That's it.
You don't know what's happening.
That's right.
Closed like doors.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
If my man, some of them take set now and say, well, no, they don't like this and they don't like that. And then that moves on from the verbal to the violence.
To the violence,
you
that's
know what
right.
I mean? So
but it's extreme when you've got to kill your wife or your partner because they're progressing in something and you feel a way over that. It's a bit extreme that to take the life into.
I agree with that.
But you know, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, she's not the only one what lost her life. I mean, we had the sprinter, didn't we? On we call him now, who shot his girlfriend.
What was his name now?
In South Africa.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. We're on the track.
Yeah,
with that one. So yeah, more needs to be done. I mean, from athletics, I want to talk about explore a little bit of tennis, and you know, it's like, are people being treated differently? Because we had the Grand Slam winner who recently tested positive for a banned substance. So, you know, people are being treated different, and it's like, it depends who you are. I think it's just the same, kind of like, same old kind of like story, really. Simona and the British doubles pair, Tara Moore, have recent years spent significant time out of action with the doping cases haven't been heard yet. This was a critical time for them compared to those of Sinner and another colleague of hers. There were completely different approaches. And I mean, I know the listeners can't see this chart, what I've got here now. But as you can see, the timeline, some of the tennis players have been kind of like treated differently, from testing positive to suspended. What's the outcome of that? Then you'd get like like, say, an appeal. Is the player going to return to action? And then the current status, waiting for the hearing date to be set. So it's a little bit all over the place. And there's another timeline of another tennis player there. There's probably about four, and they've compared and contrast with Sinner's case, less accusation. The world number one had received special treatment, which the ITIR strongly denied. So they're saying that, listen, nobody's treated any different, but obviously they are. And I think, you know, people might think, well, is there much doping? What's going off in tennis? Well, clear there is, but we might not kind of like hear of it. I think, you know, all sports, we'll stick out my chest and say, all sports, from time to time, you know, there's going to be a big elephant in the room.
I agree with that.
Somebody's going to get...
I agree with that.
Yeah, somebody's going to get kind of dealt with.
It's when you get caught. It's if and when you get caught. That's all there is to it.
I mean, you're saying it's a not uncommon thing in tennis. I just don't think that we hear a lot of it.
Well, you don't. Because if it's in boxing, you hear it.
Yep.
If it's in the football, you hear it. Even in rugby, you hear it. You don't really hear much about it in tennis. But then again, it's a different sport. It's a different type of clientele, what they say, what watch it. So, you know, you just it's tend to keep undercover, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you think how physical you have to be to play tennis.
Yes.
A match can go on for 2 hours and
that's
you're
correct.
Running up and down, you're yeah. swinging a ball. You have to be physically and mentally fit for that. So you're telling me that it doesn't happen? The problem is this organisation has got to have something set up where everybody gets dealt with the same, regardless of where you stand. And that's the problem if you're going to treat people differently.
I mean, people are going to find out anyway, aren't they, who's been treated unfair, who's been treated fairly. Because people talk, don't they?
Of course.
And they'll spill it on social media, like, because we wouldn't have been aware of this if people didn't kind of like speak up for themselves. But yeah, it's kind of like something that needs to, you know, be on a level playing field for all participants of that game. If somebody's going to get suspended, then there needs to be a procedure
that
everybody else, you know, needs to adhere to. I just think it's shocking sometimes. I think that there's, you know, there's no smoke without fire, I sort of say.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
saying. A little bit of golf, just a little touch of that. Transgender women have gone through male puberty, will not be allowed to compete in women's golf tournaments organised by the R&A from the start of next year. You know what I mean? So, you know, again, something else comes into play, and it's kind of like what the R and A are saying is that they're saying that, you know, anybody who's undergone gender alignment or anything like that won't be allowed. They're saying that it's you've got the men's tournament and you've got the women's tournament. They're not looking to mix it up at all. Right or wrong?
I think they're wrong.
Right or wrong?
I think you're right.
G, coming at this, man. Where are you away for? Talk up, no man.
If you've got some...
Oh, you know my feelings on these things, man.
Exactly. That's why I'm bringing it to the forecourt.
That's why I was trying to shy away there, man. I didn't want to get involved. But I'm here now.
From when you step through that door, you're involved.
It looks that way. Listen, you know my feelings on these things. It's just my feelings. I don't care what you go through medically. As far as I'm concerned, you can't change yourself. In your head, you might be able to change yourself. But when it comes to sport, man play with man, woman play with woman. There's no in between. I don't care when they want to say you have these things done. If you're out there and you do what you're doing, that is fine. But when it comes to sports now, and you got these transgenders where a man is trying to change to a woman, then classify himself as a woman, and you put them in the woman's team, whatever else, they're going to play different. They've always got an advantage, no matter what anybody want to say. You can say you're a woman, but you still got the advantages of what you would have done as a man.
But you know what? The RNA, they seem to have took it a step further, right? Because they're saying that the evidence shows that golf is a gender-affected sport in which male puberty confers a performance advantage. So they're saying, obviously, that, like, the man and everything will have the advantage.
Yeah, because
I agree.
Yeah, because when my man lick a ball now, right, when he lick the ball, right, he's not licking it as woman, he's licking it as man. So
that ball's going to go further.
So can it be the same? It can't be the same. You've got a woman, right? Natural woman, right? And she can be strong, you know? Strong like lion, right? No, strong like lion. And she can lick the ball. But my man, who's turned from man to woman, he's still got them little things in him. So he's going to lick it further, ain't he?
And there's always that advantage, no matter what sports it's
yeah.
in. When you change, you've still got that advantage. But like I said, in your own personal life, you want to do things, but we have to draw the line them somewhere, man. You can't say a man who says he's changing to a woman and he's gone through whatever he's gone through, that he's now a woman. No, he's not a woman.
I mean, do you know what? It makes a change that an organisation have kind of like looked at it.
Respect to them.
You know, in the most civilised way, because the RNA... They're saying that they've carefully reviewed the best available medical and scientific advice relating to the participation of elite and scratch level golf competitions by gender athletes, and decided that updating our entry conditions to preserve fairness in our female professionals and the elite amateur championships is the right thing to do. Slumbers said. So they've not just like kind of made a decision, you know, like they've not just been in a pub and wrote on the back of a fag packet and that, you know what I mean? They're kind of like saying that, you know, they've kind of like chatted to the scientists, looked at the data, and then, you know, they've kind of like through discussions, they've decided to make that kind of switch. So it's not just kind of like not just like a kind of like afterthought. So I think you have to kind of like big them up for spending some time on that.
Well, that's the truth, because you have to. They've gone the way they have to do politically, how it works nowadays. But for me, nature's nature. That's it, bottom line. You can come with whatever you come with, but you're never going to be 100% bona fide woman.
Yeah,
never.
I agree. That's what I said. I mean, I've had a message off one of my peoples out there, and they said, are you trying to say that men are stronger than women? I'm not trying
naturally
to.
Naturally, we are.
I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that if you're a man, and you've changed from being a man to a woman, you still have them little strength. So even if the woman's playing out of her skin and playing her natural, you know what I mean, right? My man who's come from being a man to a woman, he's still gonna have the advantage. He's still gonna have the strength, even though that woman is playing to the highest ability. He's still gonna have that strength. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So no, I'm not saying that. A man is stronger than a woman or whatever. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to kind of like talk out these difficult kind of like chats and stuff. You know, you can't just kind of like shy away because, you know, it's a serious thing out there. You know what I mean? There's going to be some people who are upset and they want to compete and that. But RNA I've, you know, gone about their business in a professional way, and I think they've concluded that in the most delightful way. You know?
Well, let's be honest, then other organisations can follow that same suit then, can't they, really?
Yeah.
If they've gone through it and they've proven this with the scientists and said what they said, then...
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a good point.
There should be no arguments now, really, should there?
I mean, from one sport like golf, Kyle Walker is come out forward and is saying that Instagram and the authorities need to stop this from happening, being racial abuse. Kyle Walker is saying that Instagram can play a massive, massive kind of like role in that. And there's probably not a month what goes by when there's not a kind of like a bit of racism raised on Sweet Talking Sport. I mean, Walker was referring to Wednesday night, played 90 minutes in Turin. And it's, you know, I just mentioned that the seventh defeat in 10 games. But Walker, 34, sort of like appeal for action at Instagram. The Instagram story where he used a screenshot of a racism message had he received. No one should ever be subject to that sort of vile racism and threatening abuse. How do you stop it? That's one thing for me. I think that you'll never stop it, like the weather.
Never.
I think
never.
I think you can minimise it.
Which is what they're supposed to do anyway, isn't
and
it?
I'll go straight for the juggler with this one. As far as I'm concerned, it's yeah, and I'll use that word, punishment, the fines, the punishment, not severe enough. Simple as that for me. I don't know where your guys sit on it.
Well, obviously it kind of affects me, innit, really, because he plays for my team, innit. So
well, it affects everybody.
Well, I want to know. I want to know.
Yeah, it affects everybody.
But it's kind of closer, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of closer in my chest, you know what I mean? Right? So what I'm saying, what I'm saying, right, you know the racism? Was it from the Italians or was it from his own fans, from the Manchester City fans? Because it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't from the Manchester City fans. I've been already discussed a little things with you before we came on air. It would not surprise me if it wasn't from the Manchester City fans, because they're like all the other fans, are so fickle. So fickle, do you know what I mean? They only have to do, the only things aren't going right, so the man to blame is Walker. So that's what I'm just asking. I'm not sure if it was the City fans or the Italian fans, but it sounded more like it was my kind of fans. It were my fans, Man City fans, because he said he was he's abused online, on Instagram. So I would presume it was. I can't really see the Italians fans abusing him because they won. They beat us 2-0. So I can't really see them abusing him. I'm thinking this is coming from Man City fans.
Yeah, that sounds because right.
Because we've lost. So
and he's the captain,
who that's right. And so who are you going to turn to? Yeah, let's blame him.
Yeah, but
because
why?
He's been getting a lot of stick anyway from where I sit. He's been getting a lot of stick. Saying why is he in the team? And that, so I think it is from the Man City fans where he's had this racism from me.
Yeah, but why have they always got to turn to racism when something doesn't go right? Why have they always got to come out of the black players and start saying this, that and you?
Because it's the easiest one. It's the easiest one. It's the easiest thing. Look at what happened with England.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's the easiest ones to blame. Right? So... And that's why I want some people to say, oh, well, our fans are not like that. Every single team has got it in them.
I believe so.
Every team. That's why you'll never hear me turn around and say, oh, no City fans will be like, shut up. Of course they are.
They've got to deal with these things now, aren't they, really? Even with the fans, so the fans are getting racist. You've got TV cameras in there. You need to start picking people out. And
what's
do
my
what
man doing? Them. Kick it out. Kick out what? What are they kicking out? They've been kicking out for the past, what? I don't know. How long's kicking out been going on?
And nothing's changed.
Nah. far as I'm concerned, right, it's just going to happen all the time.
Yeah, very kind of like sad. And that's probably the first thing that some fans go for is the colour of somebody's skin. Using kind of like, racial abuse to kind of like hurt somebody, you know. They'll discriminate to the max. And then obviously take it to online. You thought with the technology in this day and age, as soon as somebody comes online, and whether it's a bogus account or whatever, put that kind of like, put them kind of hurtful words and that, the authorities would step on it. But you've also got
that's what's supposed
freedom
to happen.
Of speech and stuff like that as well, isn't it?
Most of these things, social media sites that are set up, that's one thing they're always publicising, that we don't take racism, we don't take this, we don't take that. But when it happens, they don't do anything. Look at Zuckerberg, he's had to stand in front of Congress and all them things. They're getting quizzed over certain things with money and racism and that, because they're not doing anything about it. Even when Trump's there, been saying on his true social, look how long they took to ban him, and then two tools he was back on. If they want to stop it, they can do, but racism's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, the punishment doesn't seem to be enough, you know, because like, you know, whether people will get a ban from games and stuff, you know, if they're pointed out, the procedures and, you know, the fine, took to court, 3-year stadium ban or whatever, or 5-year ban, or sometimes even like a lifetime ban, yeah. You know. But, you know, they'll like I said, they'll look at somebody's skin tone before they look at what somebody's actually achieved, you know, as a player, not just for their kind of like club, but for the country they kind of like represent also as well, you know. But yeah, it's kind of like very sad that discrimination and racism kind of like takes kind of precedence in our kind of like sports as well. And that just shows to me that not enough is being done about it.
For me, right, I'm just going to talk it out as a black supporter.
Go on.
A black football supporter for many of years. I've had a season ticket for City for around 40 odd years, right? And I'll be honest with you, there's some players who have played walkless. They've been bad. They've not played well. But I don't think that the racism don't come into my head to say something about the player.
That's what we're going to comment on.
I don't think, he's a white guy. This and that. I don't think, let me take to my laptop or my computer to write something about his colour. I don't think that at all. I just think, he's not played well. Right, but it seems to think that if a black player plays badly, other people seem to think, I've got to say something about his colour. They seem to think justifying calling him a this or whatever. But like I said, I've been watching football for a long time, and that never comes into my head. To call him this and that.
And that's the point right there, you see. Because within our culture, we don't naturally go out there and do these kind of things, start saying racism things on social media or shout it out, whatever. Well, to be honest, I don't know any other real culture that does that. But if we start to do that now, start to flip the coin and we start to do the things like that now, do you think they're just going to leave it alone? And so I say, it's one of them things. Or do you think now they're going to start taking some action about it?
Yeah, it's that, you know, unfortunately that problem ain't gonna go away.
It ain't gonna go away.
You know, the length of time, like CV says, you know, we've been watching football, supporting it, whether it's on the box, whether it's live games or whatever, discussions, you know, with our mates and stuff. It's kind of like really, really sad. Like I said, nobody really is talking about, you know, 15 major trophies that he's won, at the Etihad. You know, represented his club Champions League, played for his country and stuff. And it's just, I mean, for me, it's just a sad day for football when it rears its head like that. You know what I mean?
Against a player like that, that's achieved so much as well, like you just said.
To be fair, that also, that flips onto the same side as the supporters side, because you get a lot of supporters, as in black supporters, as in brown supporters, as in, you know, Chinese support. A lot of, sometimes that puts them off from going to games.
Yeah, because, I agree with that.
Because for the simple reason of the reaction of some of the supporters, right? Because you've been to matches, you go to matches regular, right? And back in the day, sometimes you used to be like looking to see if there's a black guy on the other team, right? Because you're hoping, oh, I hope there ain't one, because you know what's coming. You're going to get all the kind of verbals and all them kind of things. So you used to be wishing that there wasn't one. So, yeah.
I can back that up big time.
Yeah, because, you know, as I said, I supported the team for over 40-odd years, right? And where I, and my team, obviously, at the time, where the ground was, Main Road, it was in a predominantly black area. So there was quite a few black supporters, right? But let me tell you, even that still didn't save people from it. You still got it. So this racism thing is not going to, it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. Even though I feel it moved on a little bit.
Yeah, it's got better, it's still there and it's always going to be.
Yeah, we moved on a little bit now, but still, it's still going to be there.
Yeah, like I said, it's like the weather, it not go away, you know? But people, like I said, kick it out, third, Football Unites, Racing Divides. What are they doing, you know what I mean? So, you know, not just, shouldn't just take a professional to come out and say, you know what, Instagram needs to take piece of this, be accounted for and do a little bit more. But from Kyle Walker, talking about Instagram needs to do a little bit more, to a former Everton and also Sheffield United player, been doing a bit of bribery back in his hometown. And the authorities have said, well, this, he's got 20 years for taking some kind of like serious bribes. Tiley, like I said, once played in the Premiership as a midfield player for Everton, found guilty of leveraging his position as head coach of the national football team, took bribes totaling more than five point four million squids, I do believe, in exchange for bribes. The court said would select certain individuals for the national team, as well as help clubs win competitions and also sign players. So quite serious. A 20-year prison sentence he now faces. The 47-year-old apologised for his offences in an anti-corruption documentary aired by the Chinese state broadcaster CCTV in January. Tai goes on to say that he was very sorry and should have kept his head down to the ground. I think he should have done more than that. I think he should have kept his hands in his pockets and just done the coaching and stuff like a good boy.
Well, so you'd be thinking that now, won't you? 20 years.
Hell of a long time.
Hell of a long time.
You know, I mean, was it worth it? You know, I mean, maybe he's got some of that kind of like money stashed away.
Might have. You know what I mean? Still, for me, right?
But 20 years.
This is what makes the football. Sometimes you have to think about why. Is the football genuine, you know what I mean? Because you've got people like him, right, taking little backhanders and stuff like that. Or one man would say, yo, Lee Tai, just not put my money in there, right? You know what I mean? And then my man's going to say, no, I'll drop you this, right? Put Lee Chung in there. I mean, so at the end of the day, you sometimes you've got to think to yourself, why, what we're watching, is it true? You know what I mean?
Mm.
But let's be honest, would you want to be sat in prison for 20 years?
Not even for 10 minutes, yeah. Never mind 20 years.
To wait, you know, to what spend mean? Whatever little money you've that, got left yeah. out
if,
of it.
If he's like, a, like is that, if he's got any.
If he's got any left, because the authorities could have cleaned him out still, but would you want to for 20 years? No, sir.
But, you know, greed. They say, yeah, greed, money, the root of all evil.
Evil, innit?
And when there's that much cash exchanging hands and stuff, it's hard to kind of keep a track on things. And you're going to get, you know, people's heads are going to be turned and stuff, you know what I mean? And all this, you know?
Yeah, it's easy, done, isn't it? It's easy, done. If a man comes and tells you, yo,
all this.
This million.
You know, I mean, he's picking the team, you know, right. he's dictating things. Well, let's see him dictate things behind bars, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he wants to dictate from there,
mm.
you know? So, yeah, quite, if you've just tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sport, we've gone through a series of kind of activities, you could
different,
say.
Different sports, innit?
Yeah. Covered a bit of golf, tennis, hockey, and I think that's what it says on the label, Sweet Talking Sport. We're not just all about footy and stuff. 1846, we're going to some kind of like predictions, because we all seem to kind of like be able to, we kind of seem to rush through these, and I thought we'd just kind of like spend a little bit more time on them this evening, so we give people a kind of treat. And you know, we'll start in the Prem. Arsenal playing Everton. I mean, you know, we feature Arsenal and Manchester City. For the listeners, they might think, oh well, there's no Arsenal fans here, which you're right, but you know, I said that Arsenal have got a big massive say in the title race this season. Slipping a little bit at the moment, but there's a long way to go, as we know, because correct me if I'm right, CV, I think there was a team and there was how many points in front of City was there?
On which occasion?
Last season.
They were Arsenal were 8 points in front of City, and they came back, and City won it. Like the year before, like other years before, Liverpool 8 points in front of City, and they come back and they win it. So you know, it's, you know.
So it just goes to show, you know, teams might be kind of sporting it out at the top of the league, but you can be caught. Arsenal v Everton. So we're looking at third. The 15th. Everton kind of like always seem to be kind of like struggling these days and surviving the drop. I think they'll just do a little bit better than that, but I think this is a game too big for them.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's a game too big for them, and Arsenal for me will be winning ways. Easy prediction with that one. Home win. All the way.
Yeah, definitely a home win. It could be all a cheese. A 3-0.
2-1 to Arsenal.
Oh, okay.
I'll go along with that. 3-1. I think Everton will get one. I think they've got a goal inside him. Probably my guy, Injai, probably will kind of like find the back of the net for the toughies. Arsenal, yeah, a home win for that one. Sunday, we'll see you know, the city in blue and red in Manchester. That's if you're going that way. Big massive roadblock. It's the city derby on Sunday. The Manchester derby, I should say, but the city derby. Predictions.
That's a tricky one now, isn't it? Especially with the way Manchester City's been playing a bit.
And the other side as well.
So,
listen.
And the other side, because both of them might not be able to get a team together.
Listen. Okay. So, for me, we say 2-0.
For me?
Yeah, I'm going 2-0.
You're going 2-0? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm never going to do that, am I? I'm never going to say that. Right? I'm never going to say that. So, for me, I'm looking at a 2-0 for City to beat them.
Really?
Been playing. Yeah, I'm looking at for City to beat them. Yeah,
they have to win it. But to.
If you look at, all right, Man United, they won yesterday. Very lucky they won. But other than that, they've not been playing any better than City have. Manchester City have been, believe it or not, have played okay. It's just that they're not putting their chances away. And obviously we've got lots of injuries, a hell of a lot of injuries. We've not had a back four all season. If it's not Akanji's out, it's Akio's out. If it's not Akio's out, it's Stones out. If it's not him, it's Walker. When you're playing with a team, that your back four is your strongest department. They have to be, you have to have like a regular back four. And we've not had that for ages. And then we've got people like Rodri, who's out, right? We've got Oscar, who's out. Then we've had others like Grealish and Doku. It's all the time. So we're just playing with what we've got. So for me, yeah, I'm always going to back my team.
I hear that, like wanting to back your team. I can't see it a 2-0. I mean, it's the first derby, the new boss in the red hot seat will be witnessing. Neither team will want to lose this one, to be honest with you, with the runs, recent results that City have had, and like G says, it's going to be a tight one to call. I think this is going to be a score draw, to be honest with you, because neither team will want to lose this one.
All right, fair enough. That's everybody's opinion, isn't it? So I'm just saying that I feel that we've got a strong enough side to beat them. That's what I'm saying. The other people are saying...
Game on, then.
Not really, but that's what I believe. I believe that if we play well enough, I mean, people thought Forest were going to come there and turn us over. And we beat them 3-0. So, you know, we'll see. I feel confident in my team.
I mean, your boss says that, you know, you haven't been sleeping too good. And
I've been sleeping all right.
No, for your boss, for Pep. Oh. Pep says, right, you know, sleepless nights and all them kind of thing there, you know.
Yeah,
get them words mixed up. Feel bad. Yeah, bastity. Wait. City going to Sunday's derby, having just won one in their last 10 games.
That is correct, against Notts Forest.
You know?
Nottingham Forest.
But that's a lot still there, games to do. That's not like Man City, is it?
No, it's not. That's exactly what the point I'm saying. Right? The point is that...
Pep at the moment looks a worried man. Mm. I mean, you know, obviously the pressures of the game, like I said, he's admitted that his sleep and his diet's been affected in the worst run of results in his entire managerial career.
Again,
not just Man City, but...
That's correct.
In his career.
That's right. So, from Barcelona... You know, Barcelona, go from Barcelona to Bayern Munich. Yep, I totally agree. But as I said to you earlier on, before we came on air, no team can completely dominate every year. At some point, you have to lose, right? Now, as I said to my colleague across here, after the last seven seasons,
Manchester City have won it 6 times out of 7. That's domination. Absolute domination. Right? So, and not only that, we've won it time after time. We've won it 4 times in a row. So,
well, nobody's not going to argue with that.
If we don't, if we don't win it this year,
look, there's people out there what will say, you know, say differently.
Well, that's right, and that's their opinion, right? That's why we have. That's what it's about, listening to other people's opinions. But they can't change what I've just said. At the end of the day, right, it's been complete domination by Manchester City. Right, and if you've got a team what's dominating all the time, it then becomes not a league, because it's the same team what's winning all the time, like your Scottish league and your Spanish leagues, right? It becomes a little bit boring, right? So you have to have, you've got to get somewhere somebody's challenging. So if we don't win it this year, that's fine. It's not the ending of the world. We didn't win it a couple of years ago. Liverpool won it, right? And then what happened? We came back the year after that and won it again and again and again and again. Right, let's go on to my Philly captain team now.
Well, Sheffield Wednesday, they're down at Oxford. Oxford lying 20th in the division. Mm. Wednesday lying 12th. Mm. How do you see this one panning out?
They could get a win down there, them. They could get a win down at Oxford. I don't want them to, but they could get a win down there.
1-0 Wednesday.
Yeah, it's just a...
Just a 1-0 to win.
A mixed one for me. I think the home team Oxford, they're badly in need of some kind of points. And I've spoke about Wednesday's defence. You know, they're known for leaking a few goals anyway. So I'll go for a home win with Oxford.
Right, fair enough.
Probably about... it's going to be tight, though. Maybe looking about a 2-1 victory for Oxford United. Mm. Blades, top of the league against Plymouth, 23rd. Naturally, you'd say a kind of like home win. And this one will be a good test for the Plymouth fans as well, because obviously it'll be the first time that Plymouth will have played United with Cooper being in the net. Obviously Cooper came from Plymouth Argyle. Yeah. I think we're just over a couple of mil. And, you know, money well spent. Not conceded a goal at home. And I can't see them conceded tomorrow either. Yeah, home win for the Blades. There's a couple of goals in there, quite easy. And a big shout out for Brewster. He netted a goal, his first goal in about over 2 seasons, I do believe. Most of that time he's been on the bench and also in the injury room also as well. So yeah, it's good that he's got on a score sheet. That'll give him a whole heap of confidence going forward, and hopefully that would lead to many more goals.
Yeah, well, I think you should get a win there. You should get a win.
Yeah, I can see a couple of goals. I mean, hopefully Tyrese Campbell will be back. You know, went off injured last time, just felt a little bit of his hamstring and stuff. But United will have more or less, apart from Oblaster, be at full strength for the visit of, like I said, 23rd place Plymouth Argyle. So I'll be at that game.
So what are you saying, Jim?
I'm going to back United 2-0.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Game on. We'll see what go on.
And there you go, from, you know, sweet talking sport, just playing out with the people in the background. G and CV, your services are gratefully. Pure gratitude, me assure right now.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Anytime.
Yeah.
You know that.
You know me. Sometimes I'm here. And then sometimes people say that me depend garden duty, but I'm not really into planting anything, you know what I mean? But I don't really plant too much, you know what I mean? So I don't know which kind of garden I was depending on any gardening duty, but you know, so you go.
Who's a gardening duty?
I tell people, say, with depend on gardening duty, like, say, me. We didn't call him on there again, then garden out.
Alan Titmar.
Yeah, that's the boy there.
Yes. You plan your winter garden, innit? Yeah, you have to call the council, no, innit? Go flash your Christmas Eve, everybody.